Are you facing some challenges right now and you're not sure where to turn? Let Unity Online Radio host and women's empowerment coach, Cynthia Ocelli, help. Cynthia has helped thousands of women find clarity and get on the path to realizing their greatest vision. Right now, for a limited time, Cynthia is offering some free gifts at cynthiaocelli.com. Just click on free guidance and get free meditations and guides to help you connect with your power and thrive.
You're listening to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Eat better, get healthy, and help animals. Welcome to Main Street Vegan with your host, Victoria Moran.
This is Victoria Moran, your host for the Main Street Vegan program. We had a technical difficulty with the first half of the show, so you'll only be hearing part two, a 30-minute podcast this week with Dr. Milton Mills on immunity. I hope it helps you a lot and that you enjoy.
As you are aware, our program is presented by Unity Online Radio, which is located at Unity Village, which is this beautiful campus of eclectic spirituality founded by vegetarians back in the late 1890s. And it is then very fitting that the first ever vegan spirituality forum and retreat will take place at Unity Village, Missouri, September 10 through 13 of 2020. So if you're someone who identifies as religious or spiritual, any tradition, please check out this event at thespiritualforum.org. They are co-sponsoring the event with In Defense of Animals, and there will be all sorts of wonderful speakers attending. I'll be there, and so will our wonderful guest coming up, Dr. Milton Mills. Thank goodness, Dr. Mills, in the midst of everything that is going on in the world of health and the world of ill health these days, you were able to come up with this bit of time for us. For those of you who do not know Dr. Milton Mills, and I do hope you will, he is one of the cream of the crop, plant-based, of course, of our plant-based physicians. He is a critical care physician based in the Washington, D.C. area. He has written papers that have been presented to the U.S. government to change policy there. He has been in all kinds of documentaries. And I just think he's one of the smartest guys I know. And I'm so grateful that he is here right now to talk with us about this epidemic that's happening with the coronavirus. And I know if you're listening in 2027, you'll be saying, what, huh? What was that? But right now, it's something that people are really concerned about. And we want to get ourselves some real immune power. Help us, Dr. Mills.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. It's good to be here. It's a little difficult to know exactly what to say about corona other than the basics. And, you know, that is, doing good hygiene efforts with hand washing when you're out in public and, subject to coming in contact with foreign surfaces and people you don't know, that you try to avoid touching yourself on the face, because it's very easy to inoculate yourself with virus particles through the mucous membranes of the eyes, nose, or mouth. Once you get home, it's probably a good idea to wash your face and hands just to make sure that you decrease whatever antigens you may have come in contact with from the outside. Now, in terms of specific maneuvers to strengthen one's immune system, there, again, with specific reference to the corona or COVID-19 virus, there's still so much that we don't know. However, I have read a couple things which are worth knowing, one of which was that autopsies done on some of the first victims over in China showed that those individuals had below normal levels of selenium in their bloodstream. And that's important to know because selenium is a mineral that's very important for normal immune function. And so, you know, it's worth doing what we can to keep ourselves, you know, selenium replete and within the normal range. And I'm sure many of your listeners are probably going, selenium, what the heck is that? I've never heard of it. Or, you know, how in the heck do I get myself replete with selenium? Well, it turns out it's actually pretty easy, because the highest source of selenium in the diet are Brazil nuts. And all Brazil nuts are wild, organic, and harvested directly from the Amazon rainforest. So, and it takes about three Brazil nuts to reach your daily needs. That's all, just three Brazil nuts. You don't have to eat a ton of them or a handful, and that's enough to get you where you need to be. So, and Brazil nuts are delicious. So
they are. And when we did our pre-interview and you told me this, ever since then, I've been having Brazil nuts. I probably have more like five for dessert. You know that phrase, from soup to nuts? You know, nobody does that. And yet it's very much dessert-like. It's not sweet, but it's rich. So, I am definitely doing that thanks to you. And now all of our listeners can have that information too. And also our sponsor, we didn't talk about them today, but Complement Plus does contain selenium as well. And you can get it supplementally, except that Brazil nuts are more fun. So, Dr. Mills, just in general, give us a kind of layperson's understanding of the immune system and how it works. Is having a good immune system something that could keep us from getting some sort of infectious disease that's going around? Or if we got it, would it help us get a milder case? Just how does it work?
Well, yes, I mean, absolutely. You can think of your immune system as the police force or the army for your body. And the world is filled with all kinds of pathogens, bacteria, viruses, fungal elements that would actually love to get inside our bodies and set up shop, because a living body is an excellent source of nutrients, of energy, and so forth. So at any given point, there are a million different organisms that are looking to invade our systems and take over. And so it's the job of the immune system to continually circulate throughout our bodies and find things that shouldn't be there and get rid of them. And so there are, just like our armed forces have several different branches, our immune system also has several different branches, for lack of a better expression, and layers. And there are what are called your basic white blood cells, which are leukocytes that circulate in the blood and also get into your skin. And let's say if you cut yourself something and some dirt or bacteria got into that cut, immediately you would notice that the area would get kind of red and swollen, and that is actually the body's way of recruiting these white blood cells to come to the site and fight off any bacteria that are trying to invade and prevent them from actually getting into your bloodstream and causing an infection. Things like viruses are a little more problematic because viruses actually have to get inside a cell and take over the machinery of the cell to make copies of themselves. And so it's up to a different part of our immune system to recognize when a cell has been infected with a virus, and those are called lymphocytes. And the lymphocytes come along, and they will notice that a cell has been taken over by a virus, and then the lymphocytes are like generals. They start sending out signals to recruit different members of the immune system to come and fight off this particular infection. And when we are come in contact with a virus that we have never seen before, there's a couple ways that our body can deal with it. There's a class of cell called natural killer cells, and these are cells that kind of recognize when one of the body cells has been invaded by bacteria, and they will sort of immediately take that cell and destroy it so that it can't crank out a bunch of copies of the virus. But that's not all they do. Then there are other cells that come along and take pieces of those viral particles and present them to the lymphocyte generals and say, hey, we need to make sure that if we're exposed to this again, that we can get rid of it really soon. And what the lymphocytes then do is that they start looking through what are called B cells, which are cells that make antibodies. And they find a B cell that will make an antibody that will wrap around and attach to this particular virus particle and destroy it. And once they find that B cell, they then instruct it to make gazillions of copies of itself, to crank out a bunch of antibody, and then they clear all of the virus from the bloodstream, and then they tell it to ramp down. And so most of those B cells will die off, except for a few that will live with you for the rest of your life. And they always keep a certain amount of the antibody in your bloodstream so that if and when you ever come in contact with that particular virus particle again, it's immediately destroyed and you never get the illness again because it never has a chance to set up the infection. And so depending on how sort of robust and, you know, quick off the dime these cells respond, that can govern how sick you may or may not become when exposed to a new virus. Now, people who have a lot of chronic health problems, you can think of it again like a country that's fighting three or four wars on a bunch of different fronts. So much of that country's sort of effort, energy, and attention is being spread so thinly that it makes it easier for a new enemy to sort of invade and get a foothold. And it's a very similar kind of dynamic with infections, that if our body is energy is being drained off to fight or to deal with multiple health problems, it weakens the immune system and makes it easier for a particular kind of infection to actually become more serious, as opposed to being beaten down before it establishes a major foothold, if that makes sense.
Oh, it makes so much sense. And that analogy about the country fighting several wars, that's perfect. That really explains it to me, and I'm sure to our listeners too. So has anybody ever looked at the Whole Foods plant-based diet, or perhaps it's Seventh Day Adventists, many of whom are plant-based, in relation to immunity? Do we hold up any better than the general population?
Absolutely. So, for instance, the natural killer cells that I mentioned, natural killer cells are really important for preventing viral type illnesses from gaining a serious foothold or from getting out of hand. But they're also really important for recognizing early transformations of cells into precancerous cells and killing off those cells. And it turns out that people who are plant-based have much more robust function in their natural killer cells. And as a result, they tend to not, well, that's one of the reasons they have a lower risk for cancer and for other types of infection, because their immune systems are just so primed and revved up that they really, you know, prevent these organisms from gaining a foothold. And again, that's assuming you're talking about someone who's eating a good, healthy, balanced plant-based diet, and who's also, you know, getting rest and not driving themselves crazy, because you can be plant-based but not eat healthy. I mean, somebody can live off of potato chips and soy delicious ice cream and be vegan, but that's not a healthy vegan diet. Or you can be eating relatively healthy foods, but, you know, driving yourself, working with so many different groups and trying to do so many different things that you're not getting enough sleep, you're not exercising, you're sort of overtaxing yourself to the point that you strain your system and wear yourself out that way. Or, you know, it could be someone who has a drug problem and they sap their strength that way. So, I mean, there are things that you know, despite the fact that one is plant-based, that could potentially undo some of those advantages. But in general, there is no question that the research has shown that people who are plant-based do have more effective and more robust immune systems and tend to get fewer infections. And even if they do, the infections tend to be less severe and last for a shorter period of time than people who are not plant-based.
Wow, that is great. And that's another selling point, especially right now, for people going vegan. So what else, Milton? I mean, I've read that meditation can help, that being able to go within, having a prayer practice, something like that, all these stress management, relaxation response techniques can boost immunity. True?
That is absolutely true, because stress causes the release of stress hormones, which again dampen down the immune system. And that to a lot of people might seem counterintuitive, but actually it makes sense, because our bodies were designed to deal with quick or relatively limited episodes of stress. So the idea is, you know, we say, you know, several thousand years ago, you're out with your friends and you guys are out roaming around picking berries, and oh my goodness, you stumble upon a bear who's out there foraging for berries too. And the bear says, well, hey, you know, you look
I really
good
am an omnivore.
Right. And, you know, you might get into a little tussle and you wrestle around with the bear a little bit, but you're able to get away from the bear and you make it back to camp. and you're okay. But during that episode, when you are sort of dealing with that stressor, your body floods itself with these stress hormones that make you stronger, make you better able to fend off an enemy. But the other thing it does is it makes you less sensitive to pain. Because clearly, if you're fighting for your life, you don't want to, every time the bear hits you, you don't want to go, ow, ow, I can't move. I mean, you know, you need to be able to sort of absorb that punishment and not feel it for the time being until you get to a safe place. And likewise, you don't want your body's inflammatory system to kick in full force at that point, because again, the inflammatory, when the body's trying to heal itself, it makes you sore. It makes you not want to move because it's forcing you to conserve energy, to not move the damaged body part so that it can direct all of its efforts towards healing whatever wound is there. But again, that is not something that you want to happen at the instant time you're trying to fight for your life, if you understand what I'm saying. So, you know, you do want those stress hormones to decrease your ability to feel pain, to decrease your ability to necessarily respond to infection at that point until you get to a safer place. The problem comes if the stress is chronic and unrelenting, because then that means that you are constantly suppressing your immune system and you're constantly limiting your body's ability to respond effectively to an infection. And over time, that can make you more susceptible to more serious infections.
Fascinating. So I recall reading in Dr. Greger's book, How Not to Die, that at least some study, had maybe several, had shown that people who prophylactically gargle with salt water get fewer respiratory infections. So I've added that to my routine. So can you tell us, I know in the diet, we're trying to not consume a lot of salt, and yet sure, there seems to be something good about gargling it. How does that help?
Well, salt, you know, years ago was used to as a preservative. And the way salt works as a preservative is salt pulls water out of anything it comes in contact with. And, you know, a lot of people have used this, like if they spill something on the carpet, they'll pour salt on it to pull the fluid out of the carpet and then vacuum the salt up. Or and what gargling with salt can do is the salt can essentially desiccate or kill the bacteria in the throat by drying them out, in a sense, making the environment inhospitable for them. So, salt can be effective, but I personally, I find it really hard to tolerate. What I find to be as efficacious or even slightly more so is to use half-strength hydrogen peroxide, because hydrogen peroxide is very toxic to the kind of pathogenic bacteria that can cause sore throats and throat infections. And if you put maybe about an inch in a glass of water, an equal amount of water, so you're diluting it to half strength, and you gargle with that, say, two or three times until the amount of liquid is gone, and you repeat that process, that will really help clear up a sore throat and reduce the likelihood of getting infections.
Wonderful. Now, let's talk about hydration, because you talked about salt drawing water out, but I've also read that being sufficiently hydrated is a really great idea when you're trying to not get a virus or fight one off.
Oh, certainly. Because we're 70% water, and our body functions best when it's well hydrated. And, you know, this is a question I constantly get from patients, because they're like, well, doc, you know, how do I know if I'm drinking enough water? Or what happen frequently is a patient will come in and say, oh, you know, every morning I drink, you know, a couple liters of water, and then they go out and do whatever they do. And I'm like, well, you know, that is the equivalent of if you had a job in construction, you get up in the morning, you take a shower, and then you go out and you dig ditches for the rest of the day. Are you going to remain clean? No. And likewise, since our bodies are constantly working and metabolizing energy and creating waste products, we have to constantly flush our systems to make sure that we are remaining clean and hydrated inside. And again, to use a different analogy, if someone were going to take a bath and they ran a tub full of clean water and stepped in, took a bath, and when they stepped out, the water was a muddy brown, I think they'd say to themselves, you know what, I need to bathe more often. Well, likewise, when you urinate, if your urine comes out and it's a really dark, concentrated yellow, that tells you that you are dehydrated to an extent. You are dry inside. So the goal is to try and drink enough water throughout the day to keep your urine pale yellow to clear. And that will tell you, let you know that you are well hydrated. And the only time that that will change is if you take like a multivitamin, which because of the presence of the niacin will make your urine kind of a bright neon yellow. But aside from that, you want to just drink enough water every couple of hours to keep your urine pale yellow to clear.
Well, this has been so, so helpful. I'm just so grateful that we've all been able to have the benefit of all of your knowledge and expertise. Dr. Milton Mills, follow him on Facebook. Dr. Milton Mills is such a remarkable human being as a physician and also as a human rights activist and a really great people person. You're a great person. You're great people. You're good enough to count for two.
Thank you so much, Victoria. And I just want to quickly share that I saw an article today about these plant-based antioxidant quercetin.
Yes.
That it has shown some activity against the coronavirus, and it has known antiviral properties.
Fantastic. Tell me more about that. We'll put it in the show notes. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Stay well, stay safe, stay happy, stay vegan.
Thank you for listening to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Are you facing some challenges right now and you're not sure where to turn? Let Unity Online Radio host and women's empowerment coach, Cynthia Ocelli, help. Cynthia has helped thousands of women find clarity and get on the path to realizing their greatest vision. Right now, for a limited time, Cynthia is offering some free gifts at CynthiaOcelli.com. Just click on free guidance and get free meditations and guides to help you connect with your power and thrive.